In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 20.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 20, Episode 3. And first and foremost, a huge thank you, as ever, to everyone who reached out following last week's episode. It was clearly an episode that struck a lot of chords with many of you, and we even had about 10 people reach out and say they needed to stop listening and wait until it was light before they continued, which to me means we're doing something right. And by that, I don't mean necessarily just in an entertainment sense, I mean in the very foundation of why this podcast started, as in, it is the dark paranormal. We're regaling your tales. You should be scared. And the reason you should be scared is not because I add a sound effect, etc. You should be scared because I'm reading out somebody else's words, which means these things exist. These things are happening. They're happening right now as I speak to some poor individual that we will never hear from. So I was really pleased when people sent emails saying they needed to continue in the light. Because to me, that meant these stories are getting through. And they are stories. We weren't there. We can only have the tale told by the individual. Which does mean we unfortunately can view this in one of two ways. This is a ghost story podcast. Or, in the way it was meant to be perceived, this is a podcast which tries to prove to you that the dark side of the paranormal is utterly terrifying. Terrifying and, in my opinion, totally real. And there is a difference between a ghost story and a belief that something is real. And believe me, they are two extremely different mindsets. For example, I lived in a flat with my ex-partner I was convinced was haunted. She was convinced otherwise. One day we were in the kitchen, talking about something else, and we both witnessed that tap in that kitchen lift up and turn itself on. Now, I was happy. I was elated at the fact this skeptic had seen proof of the paranormal. And that elation lasted around maybe 5 minutes before I realised if that was in fact the case, that means there's an entity in the flat that can do what it wants, when it wants. And my elation changed to fear quicker than any other emotion I've ever felt change in my life. And immediately, I wanted to believe the rational sense or the attempts of rational reasoning my partner was offering, i.e. it's water pressure, etc. Because the alternative, despite my initial utter delight that alternative had shown itself, was in reality utterly terrifying. It was a genuine paradigm shift in how I saw things. And that's what I want this show to be. Now that might be very optimistic of me, but hopefully, following the feedback from shows like last week, we may at least get part of the way there. Now, second-hand items. I don't know how many you own, but I love going to thrift stores, to places like that, and I always come away with something. Sometimes it could be something as simple as a cup, other times it could be as large as a table. Thankfully, the shop I go to most often for a good browse at what they've got in lately is a shop on Edge Lane run by an Irish guy who knows the full history of every item they take in. so it's almost gaining a history lesson when you buy a certain piece. However, as we learn today, that's not always the case. But before we move on to today's episode, a huge thank you to our wonderful team over at Patreon. When you join our Patreon team, not only are you also supporting this show and allowing it to be heard by everyone, you also can gain access to each and every show on the main feed, both ad-free and before anyone else. In addition, you can also gain access to our weekly Patreon show, Dark Bites, where for 30 minutes a week, we take a look at some of the shorter experiences that we've received, which we can put together for a 30-minute show, and some of them are as short as 2 paragraphs. But as we say on the show, the length of your paranormal experience is in no way indicative of how truthful nor how terrifying that experience was. Plus, you can gain access to the entire back catalogue of over 100 hours of Dark Bites episodes. But for me personally, that all pales in comparison to the fact you join the community. And it is honestly the most open-minded community I've ever seen in relation to the topic of the paranormal. But I've spoken often about how open-minded and welcoming that community is, but it is something you need to experience for yourself. And the following newest team members are going to do just that. So a big hello and welcome to Rax, Dean James, Jesse, Anna, Patrice McDonald, Arthur, Jack Polman, Chantal Burkhout, Lucy, Quasmodowdell, Phantasmagoria Journals, Mitchell Taylor, Carrier, Bradley Hodge, Crystal Myers, Chase Evans, Brianne Myers, Naya, Emily, Ryder J, Honestly Amy, and BestMove24. And a huge thank you to each and every one of you. Don't forget, guys, if it sounds like your thing, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And last week we did say we'd have an announcement about a new thing that we're bringing in, and that's going to come after today's experience. But for now, lower the lights, make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door as we listen to Victorian Elegance, Hidden Malevolence. Hi there. A colleague at work mentioned your podcast after I shared with her in a somewhat emotional way what took place with my family in regards to the paranormal. They said to me this sort of thing needs to be recorded. So I listened to a few of your episodes and decided to send you this email. I'm really not sure where to start, so I guess I'll start at the beginning. My name is Carla, and I live in Ayr, Scotland, with my husband James and our 2 daughters, Phoebe, who's 4, and Emma, who's 6. Of course, I've changed their names just for privacy reasons. Last March, we moved back to Scotland from Manchester, where we'd lived for nearly 8 years. James got a job transfer, and if I'm honest, I was ready to come home. His job wasn't exactly in Ayr, but Ayr's where I grew up. And there's something about being home that felt right. It felt needed. And if I'm being honest, I may have been a bit forceful in how we got there, but I needed to get there. So get there we did. We found a lovely terraced house on a busy street near the centre. It was built around 1800, according to the estate agent. It was 3 stories, it had original features, the works. Of course, all of that meant it wasn't cheap, which meant also furnishing it properly was going to take time. So we brought what we could from Manchester, but we'd lived in a relatively small flat there, so we needed almost everything now we would be in a proper house. And that's how we ended up spending most of our weekends trawling charity shops in small towns, big towns, you name it, we've probably been there. James wasn't thrilled about it, but with 2 young kids and a mortgage, it made sense. The girls really loved it, turning it into a treasure hunt game. And I was always fond of a good rummage. It was in the British Heart Foundation shop that Phoebe found the dresser. I was looking at material for curtains, and I heard her calling me over, practically bouncing with excitement. "Mummy, Mummy, look, it's beautiful," she kept saying. "It's beautiful." And in all honesty, she was not wrong. It was an ornate Victorian piece, dark wood, intricately carved, and had an oval mirror that must have been the original. The kind of thing you'd expect to see in an antique shop for maybe hundreds of pounds, not a charity shop for £45. "My room," Phoebe announced, as if that would settle the matter. Emma rolled her eyes the way six-year-olds do, but even she admitted it was quite pretty. James then went to examine it properly. He's practical like that, checking for damage, wobbles, that sort of thing. "Solid as a rock," he said. "Someone's really looked after this." The woman behind the counter couldn't tell us much about it. "I came in the other week," she said. "It was part of a house clearance, I think. Beautiful though, isn't it? Your little one has good taste." James and I exchanged glances, and I thought at £45 we'd be mad to not take it. So we arranged for delivery for the following day. When it arrived, the delivery drivers placed it exactly where Phoebe wanted it, against the wall opposite her bed, so she could see herself in that mirror when she woke up. She was absolutely delighted. And that first evening, she insisted on rearranging all of her little ornaments, little dolls, all her little fake jewellery that you'd pick up from magazines, and placing them around the little dresser, treating it like a little altar for her stuffed animals and her children's jewellery box. Over the next few weeks, more things arrived and everything was normal. Better than normal, actually. You see, Phoebe had always been a decent sleeper, but after we got the dresser, she was sleeping through the night consistently. She'd wake up cheerful, chattering about her beautiful dresser, how it made her feel grown up. On top of that, the house was now beginning to look like a house. Things were finally coming together after what felt like an eternity. It was early May when I first noticed something odd. I was putting away laundry in Phoebe's room while she was at nursery. As I folded her clothes into the dresser's drawers, I caught my reflection in the mirror. And for just a moment, I could have sworn someone else was stood behind me. Not clearly. Just a sense of movement, a shadow. When I turned around, obviously, no one was there. I remember laughing at myself. New house, old mirror, tricks of the light. And these Victorian pieces were probably full of distortions. I made a mental note to give it a good clean with some proper glass cleaner. But over the next few days, it happened again. And again. Always when I was alone in that room. Always just movement in my peripheral vision. I started to dread going up there to put clothes away or to tidy up. I mentioned it to James one evening after the girls were in bed. I said, "I keep seeing things in Phoebe's mirror." Trying to keep it light, I added, "It probably just needs a good clean." He laughed. Not unkindly, but genuinely amused. "Carla, love, it's an old mirror in an old house. Of course it's going to play tricks on you. You've been watching too many ghost stories." And that was that. James has always been practical, logical. If he said it was nothing, then it probably was nothing. Except it wasn't nothing. By mid-May, Phoebe's behaviour started to change. Subtle things at first. She became possessive of her room in a way she'd never been before. She didn't want Emma playing in there. She didn't want us tidying, unless she was there to supervise. "It has to be just right," she'd say. Rearranging anything we'd done and arranging things again on top of her dresser. She also started spending more time alone in her room. We'd knock gently on the door and slowly open it just to check she was okay, and she'd be sat at the foot of her bed, staring at herself in the mirror, and when we'd asked what she was doing, she said, "Talking to the lady." "What lady, sweetheart?" I asked. "The lady in the mirror. She's nice. She tells me stories." Children have imaginary friends, I know that. But something about the way Phoebe said it, so matter-of-fact, made my skin crawl. James was much less concerned. "She's 4 and a half, Carla. This is normal." But I also noticed he started avoiding Phoebe's room too. If she needed help with something, he'd call her to come to him, rather than the usual going in there. Then, one night in late May, I woke up around 2 a.m. to use the bathroom. As I passed Phoebe's room, I heard her talking. Not unusual. She sometimes chattered to her stuffed animals before falling asleep. But when I listened closer, I realized she was having a conversation. Pausing, waiting, responding to something. I eased the door open just a crack. Phoebe was sitting at the edge of her bed in front of the dresser, in her pajamas, illuminated by the streetlight that came through her curtains, and she was staring directly into the mirror, nodding and giggling softly. "Phoebe," I whispered, "what are you doing, love?" She turned to me with this odd, dreamy expression. "Just talking to the lady, Mummy. She says you worry too much." I felt something cold settle in my stomach. "Go on, back to bed." I tucked her in, I glanced at the mirror, and in the dim light it looked different somehow. Darker, more reflective than it should have been. That's when I started focusing on that dresser. The very next day, I called that Heart Foundation shop that we bought it from, hoping they may give me more information. The woman I spoke to was helpful, but couldn't tell me much. "Oh, we get a lot of house clearances, love. Plus there's data protection, things like that." "Ah, no," I sighed. "Then, not something I'm proud of, but I found the words leaving my lips anyway. It's just there was a letter in one of the drawers. For Ask Stephen. And I wish I didn't read it, but I did. I really need this guy to have it." What was I thinking? After a very long pause, she whispered, "Hold on." She came back a few moments later, again whispering, "Have you got a pen? Because I'm not going to say this again, and I'm putting the phone down when I do." I told her I did. She quickly rattled off an address and said, "It belonged to an elderly woman. She died in her sleep, apparently. No family to collect the things. And for God's sake, you never heard any of this from me." Before I could agree, she'd hung up. The next day, I'm driving past that address, though I'm not sure what I expected to find. It was a small, terraced house, similar to ours, but older, and a soul sign in the garden. There seemed to be new curtains in the windows. Then, again, out of character for me, I thought, maybe the neighbours know something. Again, looking back, it's clear my fixation had quickly become obsession as I was parking up on the street and walking straight up the path of the next door neighbour. Let's take a quick break to tell you about a wonderful product. Did you know there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our world? From the food we eat to the air we breathe, even the skincare we use, they could be messing with your hormones and making you feel like you're stuck in a mystery of your own. And just like a plot twist in a true crime story or one of those unexpected scary moments in our submitters' experiences, hormonal changes like premenopause or menopause can strike at the most unexpected times. And suddenly you're dealing with mood swings, sleepless nights, and all those other symptoms that make you feel like you're losing control. But here's the good news. This is one mystery you can solve with Happy Mammoth. Just take the 2-minute free quiz from Happy Mammoth, answer a few simple questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can feel like yourself again. The results are impressive. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. According to a survey, 86% of the women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and the biggest benefit? 100% of the women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The woman who answered looked uncomfortable when I mentioned the previous resident. I felt such a rat. But I'm sorry, this was my family, and you don't know what you're capable of until you feel a threat to your family. Mrs. McKenzie, she said with a stern face, arms crossed, looking me up and down. Kept to herself, mostly. Bit strange, if I'm honest. Said I was surrounded by ghosts. Mind, I think she told everyone the same thing. Always pointing at you and shouting about spirits and stuff. She glanced about nervously. Why are you asking? Weaving fact with fiction, I said I'd bought something from the clearance sale and then the fiction part. I'd found a letter addressed to this Stephen. The woman nodded as she listened, but it wasn't a nod as if to say, I am listening. It was a nod as if to say, I'm ending this conversation. Look, she said finally, lowering her voice. I don't care what you bought. But... And she stepped off her step and led me halfway down her path. Well, after she died, there were odd things happening in there when they cleared the house. I worked shifts, and I'd see lights on 2-3 o'clock in the morning. My husband's up early, and he saw that front door open. He went up to close it, and it slammed in his face. I'd say squatters, but we never saw no one. No windows open, nothing like that. Probably nothing, but... She shrugged and walked me to her gate. Basically, now you leave. I drove home feeling more unsettled than ever. That evening, I told James what I'd learned. He listened patiently, but I could see him growing more sceptical. So, an old woman is a bit eccentric and some neighbours heard creaky noises from the house, he said. Carla, this is getting ridiculous now. It's a piece of furniture. But even as he said it, I noticed his voice had an edge to it. James is from Manchester. His accent is usually quite neutral. But when he said ridiculous, there was something distinctly Scottish about how he pronounced it. Just that one word. Things escalated quickly after that. Phoebe became even more attached to that dresser, but her behaviour grew increasingly concerning. She began having tantrums if we suggested she played elsewhere, even outside. Violent sobbing fits if we mentioned rearranging her room. One morning, I found her out of bed, asleep on the floor, her arms around the dresser, curled up like a cat. When I woke her and asked why she wasn't in bed, she said the dresser was safer, and she felt better sleeping near it. James's response to this was strange. The practical husband, who'd normally insist on proper bedtimes and sleeping in proper beds, just shrugged. If she feels more safe there, then what's the harm? But I was seeing more things in that mirror. Now not just shadows, actual shapes. Figures moving independently of anything in that room. And always when I was alone. The worst happened in early June. I was cleaning Phoebe's room while she was at nursery. I'd been putting off properly cleaning that mirror for weeks, but I finally forced myself to do it. As I sprayed the glass cleaner and started wiping, I saw something that made my heart stop. In the reflection, stood directly behind me, was a woman. Elderly, thin, wearing what looked like a nightgown. Gaunt face, hollow eyes, reaching out towards me with one yellow hand, bones almost poking through the flesh. I spun round, nothing there. I look back at the mirror, just my own terrified reflection. But I swear to you, for just a moment, I could smell something. Something medicinal and stale. Like a combination of old flowers and disinfectant. I called my sister in Edinburgh that afternoon. I was still shaking. I told her everything. "You need to get rid of it," Sarah said immediately after I'd explained everything. "I don't care if Phoebe throws a fit, get it out of your house." But when I broached the subject with James that evening, he reacted more differently than I'd expected. "For God's sake, Carla," he snapped, his face flushing red. "It's a bloody dresser. You're scaring yourself over nothing." Again, this was not his voice. There was a tinge of a Scottish accent in every word, stronger this time. It coloured the whole sentence. "The poor girl loves that thing and you want to throw it away because you're having nightmares." Unbeknownst to us, Phoebe was in the next room, and she walked in with alarm. "Throw what away?" "Nothing, sweetheart," I said quickly. "Daddy and I were just talking." But Phoebe's eyes had gone wide with panic. "You can't take my dresser, you can't. The lady lives there." Well, the tantrum that followed was unlike anything I'd ever seen. She screamed, she threw herself on the floor, she hyperventilated until I thought she may pass out. It took just under an hour for us to calm her down, and only after both James and I promised we wouldn't move that dresser. "See," James said later, but his voice was different, colder. "See, look what you've done. You've upset her for nothing." That night, I lay awake, listening to Phoebe moving around her room. At one point, I heard her giggling softly, having another conversation with her lady. James apologised for snapping at me the next day, and even admitted it was rather concerning how Phoebe's behaviour had changed now we had the dresser. A few days later, when I brought up the dresser again, he bizarrely acted like we'd never had that conversation. And even more bizarrely, word for word, tone for tone, repeated his original response. "For God's sake, Carla, it's a bloody dresser. You're scaring yourself over nothing." The James I knew was rational, logical, and he had a good grasp on conversations that had recently took place. Yet, here he was, acting like he had no memory of agreeing that Phoebe's attachment was concerning. Throughout June and July, James's mood swings became more frequent. He'd go from being his normal, loving self to this red-faced, angry man over the smallest things. And every time he got angry, this Scottish accent would creep in. Sometimes just one word, sometimes entire sentences. It was like someone else was speaking through him. The strange thing was, when he would be like this, Phoebe seemed less affected. She was still obsessed with the dresser, still sleeping on the floor beside him most nights, but she was calmer, like whatever had been building up in May had settled into a routine. I think it was me who was falling apart. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't concentrate at work. Every time I had to go into Phoebe's room, I felt like I was being watched. The mirror seemed to follow me with eyes I couldn't see. Sometimes I'd catch movement in that mirror that had nothing to do with anything happening in that room. I 100%, hand on heart, started to get concerned I was losing my mind. Then, in early August, something happened that changed everything. I was putting Emma to bed when I heard Phoebe crying in her room. Not her usual tantrums either, a real heartbroken sobbing. I found her sitting on her bed, staring at the dresser with tears streaming down her face. "What's wrong, sweetheart?" I asked, sitting beside her. She couldn't speak. She just kept sniffling and pointing at the dresser. "Did you hurt yourself? Did you fall?" She shook her head, still sobbing. "Are you scared of something?" Head shake again. Is it the lady in the mirror? Head shake, but more violent now. I was running out of ideas. Is it your stuffed animals, your jewellery box? More head shaking. Is it the dresser itself? Phoebe's head snapped up. She nodded vigorously and threw herself into my arms, clutching me so tightly I could barely breathe. "The dresser's scaring you." She nodded, but her nodding slowed down and her tears stopped as she looked over my shoulder into the rest of the room. Given the awkward angle I'd positioned myself in whilst comforting my daughter, I also tried to turn around to face whatever she was looking at in the darkness. My eyes hadn't adjusted to the darkness and it was completely pitch black. But as they slowly did, one part of that room remained black. The left corner. And then it grew. And it grew. Until it was about 9 feet tall. At this point, I scooped Phoebe up and we ran out of her room, down the hall, and stood on the precipice of Emma's bedroom. I thought if something charges down this hall, I at least want to be in a safe room with both of my daughters. But nothing charged out of the room. Instead, the light turned on by itself. This I know because to reach the light switch, we would have had to see your arm stretch across the doorway, which we didn't. I genuinely think my heart stopped when from Phoebe's now illuminated room stepped a smiling James. The same James I'd assumed was asleep after he left for bed early, claiming he had a heavy migraine. He wasn't 9 feet tall. He was in his pajamas. And his smile was about as authentic as a plastic toy. He made a right into our bedroom, still smiling, staring at me directly, then tapped his forehead and said, "See you. You're near right in the head." He said in a broad Scottish accent before walking back into our bedroom and slamming the door shut. And that's when I knew, when I absolutely knew, that whatever was happening in our house had to stop. The very next morning, whilst James was at work and the girls were at school and nursery, I hired myself a van and I took that dresser to the local tip. The man working there stopped me as I was dragging it towards the general waste area. "Hold on, hold on," he said. "That's a nice piece. We send the good stuff to charities. It's a shame to see that destroyed." I felt my stomach drop. No, no, really, it's better it's just gone. He was already lifting it from me to a trolley. Don't be daft, someone will love this. How could I explain? How could I tell him that this beautiful piece of furniture had been slowly poisoning my family for months? That I'd seen things in this mirror that shouldn't exist? That my husband had become someone I didn't recognise? But I let him take it. I watched him wheel it away towards that charity section. And I've been wondering ever since, who has it now? The difference in that house was immediate. I don't mean over the course of weeks, I mean that very evening. Phoebe slept in her own bed without complaint, never mentioning that dresser once. James came home from work in a good mood and stayed that way, and it was authentically James, Manchester accent and all. The oppressive feeling that had been over the house has gone, just lifted. It's been a good few months now and we've had no more incidents. Phoebe once mentioned the dresser, never anymore. Though sometimes I do catch her looking thoughtfully at the empty space where it once sat. James is completely his normal self. No memory of his mood swings or Scottish outbursts. But I remember everything. And I just can't stop thinking about what that worker at the tip said. That someone will love it. I keep imagining this other family. Another little girl who thinks she's found something beautiful for her room. Another mother who'll start seeing things in an old mirror and convince herself it's just her imagination. I've thought about trying to track down where it went, warning whoever has it now. But even if I did, how would you explain something like this? How would you tell someone a piece of furniture is dangerous without sounding completely mad? I guess that's why I'm writing to you. Putting it all down like this will help somehow, I know. Even if it's just if anyone else out there listening has experienced something similar, they will know they're not on their own. Or maybe someone who has that dresser now by chance listens to this show, and they'll recognise the description, and they'll understand why their own family is starting to change. Whichever way, I just hope they figure it out faster than we did. Thanks for reading my email. I know this sounds impossible, but every word is true. Carla, Scotland. P.S. If anyone listening has recently acquired a Victorian dresser with an oval mirror from a charity shop in the Ayrshire area, please get in touch with Kev. I know how crazy this must sound, but you need to know what you're dealing with. And there, Carla's amazing email ends. Thank you so much, Carla, for sharing that amazing and terrifying experience with all of us. I will also add, my Scottish accent there was obviously terrible, but Carla did put in her email a phonetic way for me to try and do that accent, as she said it was pivotal to her experience. So I apologise sincerely if anyone took offence by my awful accent. It's not my best thing I do. But also, I agree with Carla. It was pivotal to her experience. When I first read this email, the very first thing I'd done was think about all of the secondhand items I've purchased. And there are quite a few. One room in particular is 80% made up of things I've found in thrift shops or charity shops, antique Edwardian furniture, etc. And although one of those items an alleged psychic friend of mine told me needed cleansing and indeed cleansed it themselves, I am now pausing for thought about the other items I own. But Carla, thank you so much for this amazing experience. And as Carla rightly says at the end, if you've come across this antique dresser, by all means, do get in touch with the show. contact@thedarkparanormal.com. Now, of course, as we've said previously, that's no longer the address for your emails regarding stories. That can be found in the link in the show notes or by directly visiting the website, thedarkparanormal.com, and then there's a Submit Your Experience button for you to do so there. Regular listeners will have heard me talk about what I call authenticators, things which, to me, say that this story is true. And for me, it's a strange one. And it's the fact it's the first episode in a long, long while where, whilst editing, sound effects were needed very minimally. And yet the fear factor was huge. And that's just something I realised during the edit process, but it's an interesting one that I am classing as an authenticator. So once again, Carla, thank you so very much for this week's submission. Now, at the start of the show, you'll recall, and last week also, I said I would have some special news for you this week. Of course, our Patreons are already in the know of what this news is, but it is my great pleasure to announce that we will be launching a YouTube-only short show named The Dark Paranormal Presents The Dark Vault. Now, some of you may be aware I used to host a rather tongue-in-cheek look at the paranormal called We Need to Talk About Ghosts. But although it was tongue-in-cheek, it was always on the side of belief, and we received hundreds of emails from listeners with their experiences. And after that show finished and is slowly being removed from podcatchers around the world, it dawned on me those stories may be lost to time. And then it also dawned on me I still have the email address where those stories were sent to. And so, for YouTube only, we are going to record these stories as and when we get round to doing them. And that's why we're keeping it as YouTube only. So there's no set schedule, but they will be coming. You may get 4 a week, you may get none. But The Dark Vault is going to eventually work their way through the entirety of the We Need to Talk About Ghosts back catalogue of stories. Some not so chilling as The Dark Paranormal, some very chilling. Now, of course, our patrons receive everything that we do before anyone else ad-free. And the same will apply for The Dark Vault. Patrons will also receive an audio version of that video because Patreon as a company does that automatically when you upload a video. All I would say is now would be a great time to follow the link in the show notes and go and subscribe to the YouTube channel for The Dark Paranormal to be the first to hear when we release our very first Look Into The Dark Vault. I found my feet with that podcast. It was my first show. I have great memories of that podcast, and there are stories and experiences from that podcast which stick with me to this day, and ones I most certainly want to share with you, the Dark Paranormal audience. You may wonder, why is it just on YouTube? And the simple reason is, some of these stories may be 5 minutes in length, others longer, some maybe even shorter. In addition, I didn't want to set time scales, as in one will be released every Tuesday, because in all truth, my calendar is pretty full as it stands. But when I get the spare time to look back into that vault, I want to be able to share those stories with you. So as I say, now is the perfect time to click the link in the show notes, click subscribe, and that way you will be notified each and every time we do a new drop of The Dark Vault. But for now, I want to thank each and every single last one of you for joining me on your show, The Dark Paranormal. For our Patreons, I'll speak to you again on Sunday for another installment of Dark Bites. And for everyone, stay safe, take care, and remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll catch you next time, right here, on The Dark Paranormal.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.